Star Wars.
Live!
Yo!
Hello and welcome to another Full Force News Burst brought to you by GeneralsJoes.com with me as your host, Chris Slave Outfit McLeod, aka Diagnostic 80. Joining me today to discuss the recent successfully funded HasLab campaign and what this could mean for the future of big ticket items from Hasbro are Andrew Sail Away Franks and Justin Half Price Sale Bell. So without further ado, let's get stuck into this news burst. The impossible has been made possible, the unimaginable has been imagined, the unthinkable has been thinked. HasLab have managed to successfully fund one of the most ambitious projects we've seen in the toy world for at least a month. I kid, but the controversial decision to do a crowdfunding campaign came as a shock to a lot of people when news dropped back at Toy Fair not that long ago, and not many people, myself included, expected Hasbro to succeed, especially after the slow start that it had. As we got to a week out, the numbers started increasing, and with 4 days to go, they have reached their 5,000 backer target and even surpassed it, currently sitting at a healthy 5,159 backers at the time of this recording. So what are our thoughts about this, and what will it mean for the release of big box items in the future?
I mean, first of all, it is a gorgeous piece.
Yeah.
I just had a chance to review all the photography, and, you know, it is incredible. Marc Boudreau absolutely outdid himself.
Wow,
on this. It is a fitting topper to that guy's amazing career.
Big time, yeah. Big time.
Yeah. So I think just the overall quality of the design had a lot to do with it.
I've actually got a quick question for you, Andrew, while we're on the subject. Yeah. Well, we're always on the subject. That's the whole point of the show. It's the subject.
Yeah.
Was there any talk while you were at Hasbro of doing something like this in a crowdfunding style?
Yes, but it was never serious.
Yeah.
There was a lot of talk of how one might do a larger item.
Mm.
You know, at the time, Maddie Collector was just starting up.
Yeah.
Hasbro had sort of changed their business model with HasbroToyShop.com, where it was had really become less about special and unique items and exclusives, and more about it was just they paid this outside firm to run this store, so they had a company web store presence.
Yeah.
And I think that attitude with the .com, that's continued until this day, which is unfortunate, because I think they could be doing a lot more with it.
Yeah.
But I would say, on the whole, you know, there were never particularly serious talks about it. It was always...
But it was something that was on the table, like in conversation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we knew that people wanted the sail barge in particular.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, the possibility of modular playsets. You know, how can you split the Death Star and sell one piece of quarter and, you know,
You'd need 330,000 pieces to make the Death Star.
It never went beyond, like, early design ideas, so...
That's really cool, though. I'm glad you came on the show, because it means I can poke you about stuff that happened back then. What about Justin? Just quickly, bud, what do you think about this as a piece? Is it something that interests you at all, or is this one of those things that you've just kind of witnessed from a distance and just kind of, like, you know, watched from the safe distance of your own computer?
Well, I'm definitely interested in kind of the mindset that Hasbro utilized to do this kind of thing. I was one of those folks that didn't think really that it was necessarily appropriate or for a multi-billion or million-dollar business to use crowdfunding to do this type of thing.
Sure.
You know, I can kind of see the perspective of folks who agreed with it. And, you know, I'm a Star Wars fan at a distance. I'm not, you know, deeply invested in the universe, and I didn't ever have a desire for a 4-foot sail barge, but, you know, I could certainly see a lot of collectors being into that. It's certainly a display conversation piece, you know, something to put in the display room that would draw a lot of attention to itself.
The only thing.
you can't argue with the execution of it. I mean, it looks fantastic. It's really kind of unique and awesome to have something truly to scale for the 4-inch figures. But yeah, it was never anything that I was seriously consider ever backing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've only got so much money to go around, and those damn horses are taking all of it.
Okay, so in terms of how this kind of looks on the future of toy companies doing this kind of thing, I mean, do you think Hasbro are going to do this a lot more often now that they've successfully backed this? Do you think it's going to happen with, say, G.I. Joe?
Yeah, that's a tough call. I mean, it was successful, so I think Hasbro is definitely going to learn from what they did and learn what worked and keep trying it. You know, whether or not they will apply this to G.I. Joe, I can't really say. I mean, G.I. Joe is not... You know, Star Wars is one of those pervasive brands that's just, you know, no matter what struggles they might have had with The Last Jedi and recently, it's a brand that is global and universal and dominating. And so it makes perfect sense to use that as a springboard for this. You know, I think using something like this for G.I. Joe is still a very long ways off. I don't think they can use this as a barometer for success of a G.I. Joe-related project just because the brands are so different. I mean, G.I. Joe at modern retail right now just doesn't exist. I mean, besides specific collector-based lines, it's really almost irrelevant at this point. So I'm not sure that they would be able to leverage the success of this project with anything G.I. Joe-related, but you never know. You know, I could see them doing something maybe Marvel-related or sticking with Star Wars maybe for the next jump-off and seeing how that goes, or maybe even Transformers, depending what they would do for that. But yeah, I think we're still quite a ways away from them entrusting this kind of thing to a G.I. Joe related product, or you know, if, or they may do it, may surprise me, and we'll see if anything, if there's any collector traction, any funding traction with it. But I suspect that we'll see it done with some other brands before we'd see it done with G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Transformers there. I've heard a lot of talk about Unicron being one of those kind of big ticket items. Could you imagine like a proper big Unicron? I mean, that would be next level, wouldn't it?
Pretty crazy, yeah.
Andrew, coming back to you, bud, with the talk of all these kind of other different brands, is this something that you would be... I mean, actually, I'll ask both of you this question. Did you, either of you, go in for this?
No, I did not.
Okay. I do have to say, full disclosure, I backed it. So I'll be getting the Jabba's sail barge. And this coming from somebody who doesn't buy or doesn't have... Like, he doesn't collect 3 3/4 Star Wars figures. I'm a 6-inch Black Series guy, right? And kind of like, you know, the occasional vintage thing from back in the day. But in terms of this, I kind of just thought it was one of those monumental historical type things that either is going to be really cool to have, or B, really expensive on the secondary market. So I was kind of like weighing it up, like, is this something I'd like to have, you know? And it does tick both of those boxes for me. I'm really going to enjoy having this and seeing it and just looking at it in reality. But aside from that, coming back to you, Andrew, with something like, you know, other brands and stuff, is there something, or is there anything out there that you would probably go, yes, that's something that I could definitely see working with this, with this funding, with this backing goal, this way of doing things? And also, do you also think this is just Hasbro trying to adapt to the current market?
Yes, I think that's a piece of it. I think that with TRU going away, they are going to be forced to try new strategies for some items.
Yeah.
But then you've also got to remember sort of the old story about the development of stuff like the Flag and the Defiant.
Yeah.
Where it's not really a profit-making venture. It's more of a PR thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could certainly see another huge Titan-class Transformer now that there is really no mass retail outlet for something like that. Yeah. I could see them doing something like that. I think probably another Star Wars item might be likely, and, you know, maybe even some kind of Marvel item, whatever that might be.
The things that jump to my mind when you talk about Marvel are like the Helicarrier and things like that. But it kind of, I suppose maybe Tony Stark's tower would be quite a cool one, like Avengers tower would be quite neat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, they're limited, especially with Marvel. I think they're sort of limited because there really is no more 4-inch product
true,
line.
True, for yeah. Apple.
It's virtually non-existent. Mm. They basically put out a couple items a year to keep anyone else from taking the license. So,
well, that was kind of my question around the sale barge is, you know, you mentioned that, like, the flag and stuff they use this for PR, but PR for what? I mean, really not much of a foreign Star Wars
line. Yeah, and that I think is one of the oddball things about this timing for this project is that they're just now relaunching the vintage 4-inch product line at retail.
Yeah.
They're literally just hitting. And with a wave of product quite that looks good, but quite frankly, I don't think anyone cares about. It's an oddball character choice.
Yeah.
And they probably needed to have that line back at retail for a good year or so before they jumped on this project. So good as it is, I'm surprised it's funded.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I think it's kind of like a risk to take, especially if they are doing, like you say, they're releasing the vintage line again. Because a lot of people were saying, well, I've got nothing to put on this. I've got nothing to populate this barge with. And it's like, well, you know, there's obviously older product out there. But at the same time, yeah, it's like, get hold of, if you don't have that already, like, or you're not getting hold of it easily. Certainly not for cheap. So I think that you're right. Yeah, there's a thing there where you think that you'd have at least thought they'd have had a vintage line on the go alongside, say, TLJ or even The Force Awakens at the same time, like building up to something like that. But I suppose maybe they thought, well, there's going to be a year before it actually hits, you know, before it starts hitting doorsteps. I say doorsteps. I don't know how they're going to deliver it. Probably on like helipads. It's going to be like, if you don't have a door big enough, you might be struggling here. But yeah, so I think, I agree with that. I think that there needs to be something in place. So at least there will be something by the time that this thing gets to doors. Yeah. You know, you'll at least have something to put on it. Okay, coming back to G.I. Joe, because I know it's one of those sore subjects. But the thing is, the Joe fandom jumps on it every time. And obviously we're a Joe podcast, Action Force and G.I. Joe podcast, really. So I've got to kind of really kind of cover that a little bit more. So do you, obviously with G.I. Joe not having a presence, does that matter when it comes to releasing something like this? Or could you get away with releasing a big box item that goes along with your 4-inch figures that you can obviously, as a G.I. Joe collector, will have in abundance and probably, you know, loose as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. But, I mean, there's, you know, from Hasbro's perspective, what's the point? I mean, they would want to target something big like this to draw people in and explore interest for something else that they'll be able to tie into it for sales. And so, yes, you know, you can crowdfund a $500 big G.I. Joe playset. But without figures to put in it currently on sale, what is the benefit to them? They're not only looking at what they're going to get for a return on investment for the big item, they want some return on investment for the surrounding items, the tie-in items to go along with it. So, yeah, I don't know. Without an existing G.I. Joe 4-inch product line, I just don't see them trying to do something big like that. But you never know. I mean, they might do it as a lead-in to a movie type of thing, but then it kind of leads you to wonder, well, if they're going to do a vintage-oriented big playset for $500, how are they going to tie that into the G.I. Joe 3 film that comes out in a few years?
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of my question, and which also kind of ties in a little bit with the sale barge, how you guys were saying, you know, there's no figures to put on the sale barge. I don't remember, I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen Return of the Jedi, but I don't even remember what kind of characters was the sail barge filled with? Was
like
there even
Klaatu and
there was individuals all over the place, but I don't remember like vast rows of soldiers or anything like that that were on. So it's a little bit confusing as well.
I mean, like they did that video recently of how many Klaatus you could fit on there, and it's like 182. Exactly. And I was like, well, you're not going to buy 182 Klaatus. I mean, I get what they're saying. They're trying to like show how big this thing is, which is great. But the same, you're right. It's individuals. It's not like, you know, in other Star Wars vehicles, you could have stormtroopers all over it. You know, you could have the five or six main cast characters inside the Millennium Falcon. You could have that kind of thing. But when it comes to Jabba's sail barge, 182 figures, you've got to fit on that thing, and they're all individual, and there's no, you know, it's just that's for some pretty impressive collectors, isn't it? Maybe it's going to open up a vintage line that focuses on Return of the Jedi for a little bit first, because they're going to have to, aren't they? They're going to have to focus the first 900 figures on Return of the Jedi. Andrew, what about price? Do you think 500 is... I mean, in reality, I would have probably gone into the store, seen that if in, you know, back in the day, and at the most said 300. At the very most is probably what I would not even pay for, but what I would imagine to see stuck on it, like 29999. Now, do you think 500 is too much? And do you think people are paying that premium because... Is that premium there to... almost say, well, if it doesn't, you know, if you don't pay this much, you don't see it.
I think in large part it's because you're talking about a much lower production run.
Right. If it hits, like, say, if like 20,000 people jumped on this, yeah, and got really big, all of a sudden, does the price then, obviously, it's too expensive at that point, isn't it, for an individual? But at what point does that become? Do you, in your opinion, does it become like a non-profitable, not a good investment for somebody?
Oh, in terms of the secondary market?
No, in terms of, like, you know, if you're buying, say if you're going in at $500, right?
Yeah.
If you're going in at $500 at the moment at 5,000 and something pieces, it's looking like, well, that's, you know, it's an acceptable amount of money to pay for something that's going to be that limited. But if more people jump on, which they have, obviously it can surpass 5,000, at what point does it hit a number? You know, what number does it have to hit for it to be like, oh, shit, like now I've definitely overspent on this, you know, because it's not as limited.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what Hasbro doesn't do is they don't bring the price down for everybody just because it's the nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Because their costs went down.
Yeah.
I think if you're an individual going in for this, you gotta want it. You gotta think, you know, I am really going to enjoy staring at this and setting it up. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the price... For me, the price is certainly a factor, but it wasn't the deterrent.
Yeah.
For me, it's the space. And
why did I buy it, Andrew? Why? I've got no space left. Carry on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's almost, you know, I almost wish it was somehow a mass retail item and had to be a little smaller. Because then I might be buying it.
Or Mark Boudreau having to fit it into a box, like a matchbox, you know, how he used to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've got like I've got the big Millennium Falcon that's done, you know, at this point, God, over about a decade ago.
Yeah.
And I love it. And it's absolutely gorgeous. But it sits in my garage.
I've seen it in there, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah.
Park inside of it.
He just put wheels on it. It is his new car. That's amazing. Justin, is the price too much? I mean, in your opinion, is that too much at 500 on an individual basis?
It's a tough pill to swallow. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's too much because it's tough to quantify that, because the last time anything was nearly this large was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Mm. So it's tough to judge apples to apples.
Sure.
You know, I've seen, you know, if you look at like a Titans class, you know, Crypticon or, you know,
Metroplex
or any of those that are 100 and, what are they, 150 retail usually?
Yeah, retail like 14999. Yeah.
Yeah. Compare how big those are to how big this is. 500 seems like, you know, a reasonable price, but, you know, to me, it also depends on what's, you know, usable space. I mean, it's a great display item and you can stack, you know, 100 figures end to end inside of it, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, it's not something I would spend $500 on, even if I was a rabid Star Wars fan, mostly because of the same reasons Andrew stated. I mean, once you buy it, then what do you do with it?
Yeah,
I've already got a flag in storage. I've already got a Terradrome and a Defiant in storage. Do I really need another 4-foot item in storage?
You're just making me regret my decision on going in on it now.
Buyer's remorse.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't had it just yet because you have to wait for the... You have to wait for the actual campaign to finish. Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'm gonna have full remorse. Okay, well, I think whatever the case. I mean, this is an amazing piece, as Andrew was saying earlier on. Big props to Mark Boudreau, to Hasbro, definitely, and everyone involved. I mean, well done for making something very massive and awesome at the same time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any debate about how cool it is and how awesome product is. It's just kind of the mindset or the cost or whatever. But I mean, it's a fantastic looking piece that, you know, it's pretty badass.
I mean, the number of backers for, you know, to get 5,000 is, you know, that seems to be the benchmark for them. That's what they decided they needed. I mean, there probably aren't that many for G.I. Joe, are there? Probably aren't that many fans. If you think about, like, if you really kind of, like, chop down until you get to the point of the actual percentage of people that would pay that amount of money for something that big in the G.I. Joe community, I mean, you're not talking, you know, 5,000 people, are you? There's no way in hell. I mean, people that go to con, I would say, are the ones, you know, that's the number you would probably count. The people that would regularly go to conventions, like the G.I. Joe convention, and buy the exclusives and so on and so forth, would probably be that percentage of people that would go in for something like that. And then you have to kind of keep minimizing that a little bit more and a little bit more, whereby you're talking space, like you said before, and price and so on and so forth. So yeah, I can definitely see it not really working or resonating with G.I. Joe, but it doesn't stop the kind of swell of anticipation and like excitement from the G.I. Joe fans, which I've seen on posts. Mm-hmm. Like there was, I think, Skinny Joe fan on Twitter who has been doing that. He's been doing like the HasLab for G.I. Joe thing, hasn't he? Like the survey. Thank you. Yeah. Were there any things in there, Justin, that you thought that kind of jumped out at you? Because I know you'd kind of done that survey, right?
Yeah, I mean, some cool ideas. I mean, if I was going to actually execute something like that, I would kind of stick to some of the more obscure things that he was talking about in the surveys, like, you know, maybe one of those flying Cobra dropships or one of the transport helicopters or something like that. You know, I wouldn't necessarily need to see another flag or another Defiant or anything. I'd rather see something new and interesting.
I think you're right. I think the flag and the Defiant work, you know, if you can get a decent one, you know, or you have one, there's no need for a brand new one. I agree with that. I think you need to go with something that's totally brand new. Agreed.
Exactly.
What about for you, Andrew? What G.I. Joe item would you like to kind of see, if, you know, in I'm using air quotes here, hypothetically?
Yeah, you know, I mean, not sort of the giant Cobra air carrier, because I don't know that most of those are that interesting in their design, but the transport chopper.
Yes.
Yeah. That'd probably be the big thing.
That's the one that would be the section and the midriff taken outright with the
either that, or I think I said it on previous podcasts, the classic headquarters from the animation.
Absolutely. Oh my god, with the sliding like hangar door thing that slides up and the big gun. God, yeah, that would be amazing. Why isn't this being done? Let someone contact Hasbro and tell them to do that. Anyway, I think we've covered everything, guys. Is there anything else you want to talk? Is there anything else you want to discuss about this that hasn't come up yet?
The interesting thing about it is essentially we're now in a post TRU world.
Yeah.
There is literally not a single national toy retailer in the US. Ugh. And in a lot of ways, that throws a lot of the old rules out.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's going to mean for the industry. Mostly probably not good things, but now to be able to say that, you know, we can predict what Hasbro's next move is based on sort of their old behavior and old situations, it's such a seismic change in the industry that I don't know that we can anymore. It's weird.
Agreed.
Yeah, I mean, as much as we already complain about how retail toy sales have changed in the past 10 or 15 years, I think without Toys R Us, we're in for another drastic shift. I mean, I was at my quote unquote local Toys R Us, which is still 60 miles from here, but I went there with my kids last weekend because the 8-year-old wanted to go there one last time before they started closing. As you walk down the aisles and just look at the product that is available there that you never see anywhere else, and just realize that without a toy retailer, a lot of this stuff is just going to disappear. I mean, there's just not going to be a place for it. I mean, where else have you seen a Titan class Transformer sold in the past 3 years besides Toys R Us? I've never seen.
Yeah, no, that is true. You don't see them in Target. You don't see them in Walmart. Totally. Yeah. I mean, again, it was always like the independent toy stores, you know, like the kind of the small, like vintage and modern independent toy stores that were kind of getting them, but it was because Toys R Us were ordering them as well. It's not because, you know, they weren't getting them direct necessarily. So that's, yeah, you're right. Like there's a massive shift there. And they did say that 10 to 15% of toy sales in general with this Toys R Us disappearance just disappear, just go away. Like they don't exist anymore. So, I mean, that's massive. That's a massive percentage when you think about it.
Yeah, my best guess is at the very least, you now look at 10 to 15% on the conservative end of any product line or the product lines that are sort of on the cusp, that are sort of just hanging on. And you just, you cut that right out.
Yeah.
And you probably do the same with the workforce at each of these companies, which is the really upsetting thing.
Big time.
My cousin just got a job as a corporate level marketing executive at Toys R Us headquarters in New Jersey. She's now got a resume out looking and... And yeah, that's really what it is. When we stopped at Toys R Us last week, I mean, my wife, you know, saw somebody walking down the aisle that looked like they might work there, wasn't sure, asked if he worked there, and he kind of turned around and said, well, for a little while longer, I guess. And it's just kind of, that's the reality of this. You know, we can all complain as much as we want of, oh, I'm not going to have a local Toys R Us, but there's, you know, thousands and thousands of people that are going to be out of work. Blows for a lot of them. And especially, I know, speaking for myself personally, you know, I got a job at KB Toys when I was 18 years old because I wanted to work in a toy store. And there's, I'm sure, these people got their jobs at Toys R Us for the same reason. Now, you know, these people that really loved their jobs, loved what they did, loved working in the toy world, now just aren't going to have an option. It's not like they're going to want to go just work at Walmart or wherever, the next neighborhood store down the street. It's not the same. So that's going to be a big loss for a lot of people.
I'm really hoping someone does come in and fill this gap in the market. If for any reason to get a number of those people back into work, you know, or even work something out with ex Toys R Us employees, where you take them on if you become the company that takes over, if you know what I mean. Maybe there's something that could be done with that. Again, you know, in fairness, obviously you still would have to go and interview and stuff, but I don't know. I feel like it's so sucky because I've worked there. I worked there in the UK in the Toys R Us that I'm not going to be able to see before it closes, which is annoying and sad. And I just think of all the people that I know there that still work there, you know, and just think, geez, like what are they, where are they going to go? It sucks, you know, like. But again, why do we always end up talking about Toys R Us? God damn it.
Sorry.
Not at all. Obviously, the landscape's changing. Hasbro are starting to adapt, and they've done this. And I think that this is probably, I think this is probably how we're going to see things. I mean, we've already started seeing it with, you know, obviously yourselves, Andrew, at Boss Fight Studio, you know, the Kickstarters and those kind of setups. So it's something that the buying public, especially if like an adult collectible buying public, are used to doing. It's not something, you know, they can look at it now and they can understand what's going on and they can get involved if they crunch the numbers and so on and so forth. So I think that it's probably just in the inevitable way that things are going. Dependent on who takes over at Toys R Us, that's going to be a big thing. But I think big ticket items are going to be, this is how we're going to be getting them from now on. And obviously if that means no G.I. Joe stuff because of the the reasons that we discussed, then that's a shame. But I suppose that's how it is again. We can always wait for G.I. Joe 3.
What?
Anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, what G.I. Joe stuff has, you know, been available at any store besides Toys R Us in the past 6 years? God, I mean.
Yeah, it's not nothing, I think, is the answer to that. Any last thoughts, guys?
I guess I'm impressed that it's funded. I'm glad. It gives me a small amount of hope that the toy fans are out there.
Yeah.
That they're willing to put their money where their mouth is, because after quite a few years in this industry, I've gotten really cynical.
Yeah.
That's the perfect.
It's easy to be cynical. You know?
Yeah, it is. Any final thoughts, Justin?
No, I mean, I agree with Andrew. It's impressive that people have been able to come together and make this happen. And as kind of sketchy as I was and am about a large corporation using this method to produce items like this, I'm glad they made their goal. It's a really cool looking piece, and I'm glad for the fans who are into it and are gonna not just stick it in their storage like you are, Chris.
I'll definitely take a picture of it and then it'll be put away.
You got video. You should do like a YouTube video with you like sitting in it or something.
I'm gonna have to. I was just thinking. I'm gonna have to make a bigger background.
Yeah. Yeah, how are you gonna? You're gonna have to make a diorama for it. That's all there is to it.
Shoot it outside in a sandbox.
That is perfect. And in a Sarlacc pit, I'll just dig a hole and stick it. Yeah, that's amazing. I just realized there are going to be loads of people doing crazy big ass dioramas of this, aren't there? There are going to be some amazing, amazing dios that come out of this, I think.
I would say you got to start looking at really interesting sex toy websites and figuring out what's going to be the best basis for a Sarlacc pit.
Start. That's what my browsers are all open. I've got like 16 tabs open, Andrew. That's amazing. And I think on that bombshell,
he's already got the Sarlacc pit at home. He just has to put it in sand somewhere.
The Sarlacc fleshlight. Anywho, let's move on quickly. On that bombshell, that's it for this installment of the Full Force News Burst. Thank you to my awesome co-hosts, Andrew and Justin. See you next time, and as always, full force, or full remorse. Make sure you get involved with the discussion by liking, sharing, and commenting on these videos. And as always, you can keep up with the show after listening by following on Twitter at The Full Force, liking the Facebook page, facebook.com/TheFullForce. And if you would like to contact the show, you can message us on either of these platforms with feedback, questions, or to say, who do you think you are? A serious operation now? No, not even close. Look out for more of these news bursts that we are posting on the Facebook page from now on. Full Force.